Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Murder with Collard Greens and Hot Sauce by A.L. Herbert. Read by Janina Edwards. Chapter 1. Be careful with that, I say to Latasha as she paints the white cream on Mavon's hair. Sometimes I think all that relaxer has fried her brain.
Now you just shut your mouth, Miss Naturally Straight Hair, Wavon says. Keeping it short like you do should be a crime.
Wavon and I are sitting next to each other in front of the long mirrors at Illusions, the hair salon a few doors down from my restaurant, Mahalia's Sweet Tea. Latasha owns the salon and has been cutting and styling our hair for years, even though Wavon wears wigs much of the time. As Wavon mentioned, I was blessed with good hair that doesn't need to be relaxed, but running a restaurant doesn't leave me a lot of time to fuss with it. So much to Wavon's annoyance, I keep it fairly short.
I like Halia's cut, Latasha comes to my defense. It frames her face nicely. It gives her a contemporary look, makes her look neat and professional.
What it makes her look is like the sister in those Popeyes commercials.
Wavon turns her eyes to me.
Now, if only your fried chicken was as good as Popeye's, she adds, an evil grin rising on her face.
Latasha and I gasp in unison.
You did not just insult her fried chicken. Them's fighting words, Latasha says with a laugh.
Damn right they are.
I look at Wavon. Don't make me take my earrings off.
Simmer down, Halia. I'm just messing with you.
We all know you serve the best fried chicken in town.
She shifts her eyes to Latasha's reflection in the mirror.
You gotta play to the old girl's ego sometimes, she says. She ain't got no man, so her fried chicken is all she has.
Old girl,
first you insult my chicken, and then you call me old? Keep it up, Wavon, and I'll conspire with Latasha to leave that relaxer on your hair until it falls out.
Calm down, ladies. There'll be no hair falling out in my salon. It's bad for business, Latasha says.
And I certainly don't want any mishaps with Monique Dupree due here in 2 days.
Monique Dupree?
Wavon exclaims.
Is coming here?
Yep.
Get out!
Who's Monique Dupree? I inquire. Wavon ignores my question.
Why's Monique Dupree coming here?
She's kicking off a cross-country tour at the Unique Chic Hair Convention in the city this weekend. From there, she'll be traveling all over the United States doing promotional events and visiting salons. We sell a lot of her products, so Illusions made the cut as one of the few stores that she plans to visit before she leaves the D.C. area. She'll be here on Friday for a meet and greet. My clients are really excited. She's originally from this area, you know. She moved to New York back in the 90s and hit the big time. She only recently took up residence here in Maryland again. Supposedly, she had some grand house custom built in Mitchellville.
Mitchellville?
Swanky,
Wavon says.
I have to stop by on Friday, and I should get tickets to the convention. They'll probably have some good samples and giveaways.
Lately, I've been trying this new stuff, Grow and Restore Cream. It has Jamaican black castor oil in it.
Jamaican black castor oil? Latasha inquires.
Yes, it's the latest thing. The package said it stimulates growth and helps repair dry, damaged hair and breakages. I've only been using it for 5 days. I hope it kicks in soon.
Latasha and I exchange brief glances via the mirror, as both of us know that whatever claims the label of this Grow and Restore cream makes, it could contain holy water blessed by Jesus Christ himself, and it still likely wouldn't grow or restore Wavon's hair, which, much like my relationship with moderation and chocolate cake, is beyond repair. Latasha does the best she can, but between Wavon's hot iron, cheap home relaxers, and the bargain bin dyes that she uses between salon visits, comparisons between Wavon's locks and a Brillo pad are not exactly unwarranted. I've never heard of this Jamaican coconut oil stuff you'd
castor oil,
Wavon corrects. Whatever, Latasha says. If you don't have any luck with that, I'd recommend Monique's creme de curl and her taming balm.
We sell the creme de curl like crazy. In fact, my stylists and I sold more of it than any other salon in Maryland. Well, except for one. Apparently, Salon Soleil in Upper Marlboro was her number one seller. I hear the owner, Odessa Thornton, is a personal friend of Monique's. Who is this Monique woman? I ask again. My question, for the second time, gets lost in Wavan and Latasha's exchange. I've heard of Odessa and Salon Soleil. My girl Melva gets her high bun with a twist done there. It's supposedly off-the-chain luxurious, but you can't get an appointment there to save your life. Melva says that Odessa can throw down with a hot comb. Booked solid through Christmas. I called there. Wavan lets her voice trail off as her blabbermouth self realizes she is about to commit a cardinal beauty shop offense by admitting that she is trying to secure an appointment with another stylist. I called there, you know, once. Just once when you were on vacation, and I needed my roots touched up. Only once, eh? Latasha questions. It couldn't wait until I got back? She asks with a chuckle, just to give Wavan a hard time. I don't know. Maybe I had a hot date or something, and all my wigs were at the cleaners. Latasha grins, decides to let Wavan off the hook, and returns to talk of hair care products. Well, if you want to go sans wigs more often, you really should try Monique's Creme de Curl. It's meant for curls, but it's a great cream even for relaxed hair like yours. I'll give you a discount on your first bottle.
Girl,
you've already sold enough of Monique's swag to get a visit from her. You don't need to be pushing her potions on me. Girlfriend does make some good stuff, though. Wavan pauses for a moment. Monique Dupree, come in here. If someone doesn't tell me who this Monique Dupree person is, how can you not know who she is, Halia? Latasha questions, almost as if she's scolding me. Pay her no mind, Wavan says. Halia's idea of hair care products is some suave shampoo and a can of Aquanet. Monique is only about the biggest thing to happen in the world of African-American hair since Jerry Redding invented the Jerry Curl. Oh my, I say. I remember the Jerry Curl. Boy, did people go through a lot of trouble to sport a greasy mop of damaged hair. I've seen photos of sisters with the Jerry Curl, Wavan says. I'm glad that mess was before my time. Call it what you want, and I know you weren't even out of the womb when it was popular, I say to her. But back in the day, once Michael Jackson showed it off on the cover of his Thriller album, everyone had to have one. Believe it or not, I still do Jerry Curls for a few of my customers. I don't think you can buy the actual Jerry Curl brand anymore, but there are other products with the same effect still available. I try to steer customers towards something more contemporary, but in the end, it's their hair. You know, the customer is always right and all that jazz. If they insist on looking the same way they did when DeBarge was topping the charts, so be it. Do you still use that greasy activator? Yep. I had friends in high school with the Jerry Curl. Their hair was so slick it stained everything it came into contact with. Mama didn't even want them sitting on the sofa, I say. And it still stains like crazy. But on the plus side, it requires touching up fairly often. So, you know, cha-ching, cha-ching, Latasha says, making little cash register noises. My Jerry Curlers, as I call them, help me make the payments on my Lexus. I bet they do. I smile before, once again, asking about this woman the two of them are so excited about. So, Monique sells beauty products? Hell yeah. You make it sound like she's an Avon lady. Latasha points a finger toward the shelves by the reception desk. That entire wall is full of Monique Dupree's line, Hair by Monique. I'm sure you'd recognize her if you saw her. Her infomercials run all the time. They're fun to watch even if you don't buy anything. She's always decked out in loud, sparkly clothes, hawking her straightening cream and pomades while drinking martinis and gossiping about Hollywood big shots. She's even had some celebrities on. Solange, Robin Givens, Sanaa Lathan, that girl that was in one of the Madea movies. So we're using the term celebrity rather loosely, I comment. Joke if you must, Halia, Wavan says. But Monique is the real deal.
She's worth millions. I can't wait to meet her. What time should we come over on Friday? We'll even whip up some refreshments and sweet tea for your guests.
We? I ask, knowing that the only thing Wavon knows how to whip up is a peanut butter sandwich.
It's the least we, you, can do for the chance to meet an icon, Wavon says.
If she really is all that, I guess I can put together a few treats if you like, Latasha.
Are you kidding?
I'd love that. And who knows, maybe you'll get to plug sweet tea on television.
What do you mean?
Oh, did I forget to mention that Monique is traveling with a camera crew? When she kicks off her Wear It Straight tour at the convention center this weekend, she'll be recording the event. Actually, she'll be recording her entire tour, including her stop here, supposedly to gather footage for her TV promotions. But rumor has it, she is planning to make a documentary about her rise from junior stylist at a local Prince George's County hair pair to the reigning queen of exclusive beauty products for Black women. Honestly, I think the whole thing is designed to revive Sleek, her relaxing cream. It's the product that drove her initial success. But as you've probably noticed, more and more sisters are going natural these days, and relaxer sales have been slumping.
Who cares about the reason, as long as we can get on TV?
Wavon exclaims.
Ooh, girl, I better pull Esther out from the wig box. This calls for one of my good wigs.
You have a wig named Esther.
I've got names for all my wigs.
Esther's my best one. Real human hair from Eastern Europe.
Alma's real hair, too, but not quite as nice. Maxine's my party wig. She's made of nylon or some synthetic something, but she cleans up well and goes clear down to my waist. Pair her with one of my short sheath dresses and some platform booties, and I'm good for a night at the club. Gladys is more of an everyday wig. She's...
We'll be here all day, Wavon, I say. Visions of Wavon's closet stacked with wig boxes coming to mind. I'm sure you'll look very nice in whatever wig you decide to wear if you happen to get on camera. I turn my gaze to Latasha. How many people are you expecting?
40 or so, mostly regular clients. They are all very excited to meet Monique, and I'm sure they'll be thrilled to find that you've brought some of your culinary creations from Sweet Tea.
I'll think about a menu this evening. We'll bring a nice spread for this infamous Monique and your other guests. I must admit, I'm a little intrigued to meet her after hearing the two of you gush.
Thank you, Halia. I think it will be a really nice event.
Latasha places a plastic cap over Wavon's relaxer-coated head and steps over to me. She reaches for the dryer and curling brush and begins to blow out my hair. As the noise from the dryer halts our conversation, I begin to think of what I'll prepare for the event with Ms. Dupree. I'm lost in thought about mini corn muffins with honey butter and chicken salad tartlets with candied pecans when she finally turns the dryer off and starts giving my hair a final once-over with a comb.
Voila,
she says, after giving my hair a light spray.
Looks great, I compliment, as she unsnaps the smock from around my neck.
Before getting up from the chair, I take in my reflection. I'm not a beautiful woman. Cute, maybe, in a very unassuming way. Although cute isn't really a word used to describe women like me who shop in the plus-size department and have been on the other side of 40 for a few years now. Much like Oprah, I knew early on that my currency in life was not going to be my looks. I'd like to think I'm reasonably attractive, but I've never been a head-turner. And although I enjoy getting gussied up for the infrequent special occasion, I've never really had a passionate interest in fashion or makeup or the latest hairstyles. I decided a long time ago I'd make my way in life with my smarts, a little personality, and a talent for cooking up some of the best soul food south of Sylvia's in Harlem. As I rise from the chair, I think about how I use the word unassuming to describe myself. Then I look over at Wavon, who's tapping away at her phone with one of her long red fingernails while Latasha removes the cap and runs a comb through her hair. Unassuming is so not a word I would use to describe Wavon. Even with her hair lying flat against her scalp as the relaxer works its magic, she's still all flash and glitter. her face made up with a mix of loud eyeshadows, blush, and a shade of MAC lipstick she told me was called Russian Red. She's also sporting these things called double-stacked fake eyelashes. I'd never even heard of such things until she came home with them the other day, claiming they are the same type worn by Nicki Minaj. Well, Vaughn is on the tail end of her 20s. She's my cousin, who has been living with Mama and me since adolescence, when social services deemed my aunt no longer fit to care for her. She has a good heart, and I love her, but she's a handful. I employ her as a server at Sweet Tea, but work and Wavan have never gotten along terribly well. If she weren't family, I'd have sacked her a long time ago. I read a magazine while Latasha escorts Wavan back to the sinks for the highly involved process of rinsing and neutralizing and conditioning before leading her back to the styling chair. Once Latasha has dried and styled the freshly straightened hair, she removes Wavan's smock to reveal a Rubenesque figure a size or two larger than mine in a pair of tight black jeans and a snug, low-cut top that highlights Wavan's ample cleavage. I watch as Wavan hops out of her chair onto a pair of pointy-toe pumps, which may have come from Payless or could be a designer brand she got off eBay or Craigslist. I can never tell with her purses either. She buys knockoffs from street vendors, but she also procures gently used designer bags online. And I seem to remember her belonging to some silly club that lets women rent expensive handbags and trade them out for new ones every month. Ready to go to work? I ask Wavan as we gather our things and walk over to the reception desk with Latasha to pay the bill. I look at my watch. It's almost 10:30 in the morning. Laura, my assistant manager, comes into the restaurant at 8, and Mama's probably been there since 6 doing her baking, but I'd still like to be there when we open in 30 minutes.
I just got my hair done, Wavan says. I hate to waste my new do on a shift at Sweet Tea. I guess I'll just have to go out after work and show it off. Maybe I'll get some of the girls together and we'll go have some drinks.
Why don't you join us, Halia?
I laugh. Did you just meet me? I ask. When was the last time I went out for late-night drinks on a Wednesday?
Live a little, Halia.
There's more to life than making waffles and brewing iced tea. And Lord knows, you ain't gonna find no man hauled up in the kitchen at Sweet Tea all day, every day.
You should go out tonight, Halia, and show off your fresh cut, Latasha says. The only thing I'll be doing after work tonight is taking a quick shower and curling up with a good book or a little late-night TV.
That's our girl, Wavan says. Party, party, party.
I think you party, party, party enough for both of us, I say, and hand Latasha my credit card, which she runs through the machine. I sign the receipt and give her a nice tip in cash. Then we say our goodbyes and head toward the door, with Wavan once again grumbling about wasting her new do waiting tables at Sweet Tea. Chapter 2.
Hi, Mama, I say as Wavan and I enter the Sweet Tea kitchen. 5 of her famous freshly iced butter pecan cakes are on display on the counter in front of her. Those look divine, I compliment, eyeing her creations. Decadent cakes made with applesauce, cinnamon, and finely chopped pecans, which Mama covers with a whipped frosting made from butter, confectioner's sugar, and a touch of cooked caramel. They smell good, too, I hear Wavan say, while I take a quick spin around the kitchen and greet some of my staff as they busily prepare to open the Sweet Tea doors in a few minutes.
Thank you, Wavan, Mama says. How about giving me a hand with them? If you can finish smoothing out the base icing, I'll go behind you and pipe some final swirls on the top. Only if I get to slice into one of these bad boys when we're done.
Those are for customers, Wavan, I scold, stepping over to the sink to wash my hands. Why don't you help Tacy with the cornbread? I nod at Tacy, one of my prep cooks, who's on the other side of the kitchen pouring cornmeal into a large stainless steel mixing bowl. I'll give Mama a hand with the cakes. Wavan groans at me and gives the cakes another look before stepping away. Maybe we can get Aunt Celia to bake a few of these for Latasha's little soiree on Friday.
Latasha? Your hairdresser? Mama asks. What soiree?
Latasha's hosting a little meet-and-greet thing with some lady that supplies hair care products for her salon, I say casually.
Wavon volunteered me to make some refreshments.
Some lady?
Wavon calls as she lifts the lid off a tub of sour cream and hands it to Tacy, who then adds it to the cornmeal.
She's not some lady, Halia. She's Monique Dupree. She's
Monique Dupree?
Mama asks.
You mean the Monique Dupree of Hair by Monique? That Monique Dupree?
None other.
Oh, I love her, Mama says.
She was on TV last night after my Living Single reruns.
She's so bubbly and fun. I've been using her relaxer and shampoo and leave-in conditioner for years.
Really? Well, Wavon and Latasha seem very excited about her visit.
Rightfully so. She's lovely, so full of energy.
Mama scoops some frosting into a pastry bag and gives it a few good twists to keep any from coming out the back end. She built a hugely successful business from the ground up, and Mama lifts her eyes from the little drop flowers she's piping along the outer edge of one of the cakes and steadies her gaze on me.
Even she still found time to get a husband. If Monique Dupree can run a multi-million-dollar beauty empire and still land a man, one would think you could find some time to work on doing the same.
Yes, Mama, I sigh, not looking up from the spatula in my hand. I get right on that finding a man thing just as soon as I can, but at the moment, I've got a restaurant to open for the day. I step closer to her and change the subject. These cakes really do look gorgeous. I bet we sell out. My words are offered mostly to distract Mama and get her to shut up about the lack of any romance in my life, but I mean them just the same. Mama really is a talented baker, and I'm grateful every day that she agreed, so many years ago, to make the desserts for Sweet Tea. And I'm even more grateful that she comes in very early to create her delights and is usually gone from the restaurant shortly after I arrive for the day. I love Mama, but I already share a house with her and Wavon. I'd been out of my parents' house for years when I agreed to move back in about 15 years ago, when Wavon came to live with Mama a few years after Daddy died. Wavon was too much for her to handle alone, and the two of us have been trying to keep her out of trouble ever since. Between us living together and our few overlapping hours at Sweet Tea each day, during which I get an earful about my lack of a husband and Mama's lack of any grandchildren, I get more than enough Mama time. Sometimes I worry that, at her advanced age, it's too much responsibility for her to come in 6 days a week and be on her feet all morning preparing the desserts that make my customers swoon. But she shows no signs of, or interest in, slowing down anytime soon, and claims that baking keeps her young. It also adds to her many means of keeping tabs on me and my goings-on. I think we'll have enough desserts to go around. I made red velvet cupcakes and apple cobbler this morning, too, and we have a few slices of sour cream coconut cake left over from yesterday. Red velvet cupcakes, Wavon calls to Mama from the other side of the kitchen. That's what you should make for Latasha's reception on Friday. I don't think I'm inclined to make anything unless I'm extended an invitation to attend the gathering, Mama decrees. I'm sure Latasha won't mind if you come, Wavon offers, especially if you bring some desserts.
I'll call Latasha and let her know there will be three of us attending. Oh, how fun, Mama says. I'm going to meet Monique Dupree and get to tell her how much I love her products.
Speaking of products, I hope she brings some freebies. I could use some of that styling milk I saw her hawking on TV last week, and some of her hair butter, too, Wavon says.
Styling milk? Hair butter? I ask.
Why do her products sound like they belong in the dairy aisle at the Harris Teeter?
That shouldn't be any surprise, Wavon remarks. She got her start whipping up creams and potions from ingredients in her kitchen, right here in Prince George's County, Maryland.
Is that so?
Have you honestly never heard her rags-to-riches story?
Wavon asks.
She's always talking about it on her infomercials. Those things run on late-night TV all the freaking time. Many nights, after I watch me some Martin or Bernie Mac reruns, I'll click around and come across Monique peddling her wares. She's usually doing a demo of one of her products and talking about her bygone days as a local hairdresser and her bygone nights sitting at the kitchen table testing hair remedies. It was the topic of conversation last night while she was running a hot comb through a model's hair, showing off one of her conditioners, or her pressing oil. I don't remember. Vaughn cuts Mama off. Aunt Celia, you act like Halia knows what pressing oil is. She ain't never used a hot comb in her life. Mama laughs. She got that naturally straight hair from her late father's side of the family, she says, while both she and Vaughn enviously eye my hair. I know what pressing oil is, Vaughn, but never mind about that. You were saying about Monique, that she got her start making hair creams in her kitchen. Her first conditioner was made from avocados and honey and yogurt, I think, or sour cream. That must have smelled nice on a hot day. Hush, Halia, Mama says. Sleek, her flagship relaxer, the one I've used for years, still has avocado and olive oil in it. Leaves my hair really soft. Mama pauses for a moment and looks up from her pastry bag. Oh, I simply can't wait to meet her. What do you think I should prepare, Halia? I think cupcakes or tartlets would work out well. Maybe my pink lemonade cupcakes, or red velvet like Vaughn suggested. I've been toying with a chocolate bourbon pecan pie, but the recipe is not quite ready for prime time. Still tweaking that one. Your chocolate marshmallow cake is always a hit. Why don't you use that recipe and make cupcakes with it? Maybe. I wish I knew what Monique liked. I think I'll do some research and see if she's mentioned some food preferences in any interviews. I know she likes cocktails. She's always sipping those on TV, but I've never... Mama stops mid-sentence as she and I both take note of Vaughn, who has abandoned her duty assisting Tacy and is pulling jars from the shelves, mayonnaise, honey, coconut oil, and plopping them down on the counter. She's doing something she typically does not do, hurry, which has both Mama and me perplexed. I'm sure Mama, like myself, is wondering why Vaughn, who only moves quickly when things like discounted shoes or all-you-can-eat buffets are involved, is scurrying around the kitchen. What are you doing? I ask as she scuttles toward the walk-in refrigerator and opens the door. She doesn't answer as she steps inside and quickly emerges with some avocados and Greek yogurt. Monique hit it big making her own hair care products, right? Vaughn places the avocados and yogurt on the counter. We've got a whole kitchen full of stuff that's good for hair. I'm going to concoct something for Monique's visit and sell her the formula, she says, opening one of the jars in front of her and looking under the counter for a bowl. I'm about to reprimand her, remind her that we are about to open, and tell her to make hair potions on her own time, but I figure she'll lose interest once the first batch of whatever she's throwing together is a bust and move on to the next thing. Mama and I take a break from finishing up the butter pecan cakes to stand and watch the spectacle that is Vaughn on a mission. I see her dump a heaping tablespoon of mayonnaise into the bowl and squeeze in some honey. As she starts to slice into the avocado, I have the same thought I have at the start of most of my dates. This is not going to end well. Chapter 3. What is that foul odor? Mama asks as we step outside the restaurant on a chilly October afternoon. I don't know. I scrunch up my nose. It smells like a can of opened cat food that's been sitting out too long. I think you need to call the property management company. Maybe that trash can needs to be emptied. Mama nods her head in the direction of one of the small receptacles dotted along the front of the shopping center that houses sweet tea. I'll call Tacy from the salon and ask him to empty it. It could be hours if we wait on the leasing company to take care of it, I respond, before turning my attention to Vaughn. Be careful with those, I say to her. I don't want you dropping them. She's carrying a tray of deviled mini potatoes as we hurry toward Illusions with the refreshments for the Monique Dupree welcome party. The salon is a few doors down from Sweet Tea,
so we're only going a short distance. But Wavan, unsteadily teetering along the sidewalk in a pair of high heels while holding my carefully crafted hors d'oeuvres, is making me nervous.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?